And you know, around the building, and especially, I'm not very handy. I don't know a lot about electrical work, plumbing work, or anything. I do know enough to know when I walk in the auditorium, there's not supposed to be a hose running across in front of the stage. And, you know, again, we've got some infrastructure issues that nobody ever knows about that we probably need to address. A lot of talk in the community. Should we do some work at the stadium? We're talking about, and I'm not sure. We can place the visitors' bleachers. I don't know that the home bleachers are in need of replacement yet. I mean, that's I'm assuming that's a WPA project, like so many of the other stadiums were when we were growing up. But then you're also looking at possibility of a turf field. I've heard really mixed reactions about whether we need an all-weather track or not. You know, just because you have a state championship level track team, do you need an all-weather? Some people will say that's what makes them so good at running on a cinder track. Some people will say they deserve something a little more modern. And the other thing I forgot to put on the stadium, it's pretty evident we're going to need to look at replacing some lights out there, especially the one pole that's leaning further and further away from.
It's got to be like a 30-degree, 40-degree angle at this point.
Another great topic in McDonald is the swimming pool. Unfortunately, the pipes down below are, you know, just, I guess, corroded. The pool's been empty for how many years? When I first came, I even met with some folks in the, some folks in the community and with the village government. You know, they'd like to see the swimming pool come brought back. Just, you know, obviously our kids, those of you who grew up in, guessing that's most of you here, grew up in McDonald. Remember using that pool. You know, it would be an outstanding addition to our physical education program and some things, but also for community use. And I guess I should mention, you know, if we, a track would also be open for community to members to walk. But I'm not sure what it will cost to repair that swimming pool, but it's something we probably should look into. Our libraries. We no longer have a librarian, and there's a lot of discussion among educators about whether you need a librarian or not, and I have a very close friend who's retired. If she heard me say that, she'd be slapping me right now. But one of the things I notice about our build, especially the high school building, is a lot of space that we're not using. And whether we would bring in a librarian or whether we would do something else, we need to start looking at our space and coming up with some uses for that. District-wide, community-wide, you know, these are some things that we don't necessarily need to do a lot of work in here, but it's a shame that we have a couple meetings a week during lunchtime here. We have a board meeting every month and something like this, but it's a great facility that sits empty most of the time. I mentioned building infrastructure. I know Mr. Halbert had told me that we were going to need to look at doing some roof repair within a couple of years on both buildings. You know, we're talking about drainage and obviously standard upgrades that buildings need over a period of time. And then the old Roosevelt property is another item that we probably are going to want to discuss sometime in the next year or so. Is there a use for it? Do we need it? Do you know? I don't even know what we would use it for or what other uses there. I'm assuming right now a lot of kids in the community are up there on the weekends in the summer playing ball of some sort and running around. But, you know, we have this property, and it's one of the things that we should we should start talking about and seeing if there's something we want to do. Maybe there isn't. So I've talked about a lot of things, most of it's staffing. And the next question then becomes, well, who's paying for this? And can we afford this? I really thank Bill Johnson for putting together a lot of stuff. And those of you that know Bill know that he is a very fiscally conservative. Bill is, his forecast based on strictly what we know, what he knows, and he doesn't, while part of a forecast is assumptions, it is essentially thinking the worst that could happen. Some of you saw our forecast when Bill presented it back in October, and you know, we're showing a hefty balance. The staffing that I suggested, if we did everything, and I'm not sure that that's needed, we're probably looking at a neighborhood of $300,000 a year for salaries and benefits added to, you know, our current budget, our current expenditures. I do have some numbers up here, and you know, it'd be easy to. Did you all? You all have these.
He left that at salary. That was salary. He didn't include the benefits. That's why. Yeah, it's on this one.
We need one more.
Yeah, that's basically 1.1 million.
Yeah. Do you have that, Tom?
I've got it.
That's the work that Bill put in there, just on the staffing. The first page,
the first year,
Bill did our 5-year forecast, and then he did the 5-year forecast with the staffing suggestions. If we did everything that that I talked about tonight, so it gives you a sense of what our district would look like 5 years from now. Bill, do you want to address any of the assumptions, sure, that the important ones? That
yeah, the under the state unrestricted revenue, we do have the second year of the budget, the biennial budget. You know, that we are going to get an additional $300,000 from the state, and that so that's highlighted there. After that, we only assume a 1% increase from the state budget. And the big assumption for salaries is that, you know, initially we show all the staffing staying the same, and then after Mr. Roston's plan, we roll up the salaries by $172,000 per year, and the benefits by $105,000 per year. And you know, the reason it's like that is because we have current staffing doing some of the jobs that he was talking about. But in the future, we would either add additional staff or you know, double, in one case, hire the one person that we're having at halftime, having them come in at full time. So the cost difference at the bottom is in purple. So so every year we're going to have a $278,000 increase in salary and benefits, and that's over the 5 years, is going to cost you around $1.5 million. But we were projecting, you know, almost a $15 million balance at the end of 5 years. So it's only going to take it down, you know, to, you know, 13 or so, 14 million, you know, in that range. So it's a very affordable plan. You know, at least staffing-wise, to look at. I mean, it's something that's affordable, it's not gonna, you know, put us back where we were, you know, as far as being concerned about our finances and our balances. And, you know, that also leaves additional money for some of those capital projects that were in front of you there. And there may even be a few more projects that people, you know, want to take a look at and talk about tonight. But those are the highlights for the finances.
Bill, these are based on the current bargaining unit contract?
Yes, this is the final year. After this year, that it would be a big caveat, is that we've only assumed a 1% negotiated increase. That's just by tradition. It's just a number so that it enables you to do a forecast with something. You know, any negotiated agreement that would go above that would cost you somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000 per percentage point each year. You know, and then the benefits could change as well. So, I mean, there are a lot of assumptions here that will change. I mean, but that's one of them that's very conservative at this point.
So just to understand this sheet versus the, which of these numbers are the more current numbers?
Current?
Yeah. Because these they aren't the same.
Oh no,
there should be two long term plans. We'll dig at A and B.
Yeah.
A would be the current, I would assume.
A is the
before the plan.
You're looking on the forecast.
You have our projected and you have pro forma-ing these changes. But you also have these numbers. These numbers don't conform to the numbers that are in the pro forma. They're not the same numbers. So I guess my question is this more current than this? So when we look at year one of the effect, it will be this number and not this number. Because on the pro forma, the first, the incremental change in salary and benefits is $232,357.
Yeah, it's not all the change is due to this. Our staff gets step increases. Our current staff gets step increases.
Yeah, but this is even more. This number's
plus
less.
Plus 1%. What's that?
Yeah, but this number is even. This is a bigger number in year one than you show in the projection.
This number should be added to. The FY 17 should be increased by.
John, are you on A or B?
Okay, if I compare these two, this is current and this is projected. This shows the increase in salaries and benefits. The increase in salary and benefit in year one is $232,357 between these two. That's not this number. So that's why I said which is more current of those sets of numbers.
What you're looking at, but
I'm looking at
the two I did. If you have the A and the B, that, and I assume that's right.
Yeah, I assume these are yours.
And the other thing is, this may be what you're seeing is when you look at a fiscal year, the teacher's salary doesn't start at the beginning of the fiscal year. So these increases start in September of the first year, the contract year. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which is the number that's reflective of the change.
It should be from A to B is the correct increase.
Okay.
Because.
But that's not the same as this number.
This number.
You're telling me this. It shouldn't be the same as this number.
It shouldn't be. No, they won't. They won't be offset by exactly this number because there's a lot of other factors in there. But it should be. It is increased by this. Particular salary amount on a monthly basis, 1/12 of this beginning in September of 16, which is, you know, part of the way through 17. If you know
okay, so you're saying this reflects a 12 month period. period.
It's 12-month period, but it all starts
in September. And this reflects for the period ending and then the next period.
Yes.
So this is basically split over two periods.
It crosses over 2 years.
Gotcha.
So this reflects the school year and this reflects the fiscal year?
Yeah, there's two different years.
That would be the simplest way to put it, correct?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay, that's easy.
I want to stress to the board, to the community, one of the issues when you come into McDonald and talk about spending money is, we can't let what happened 7 years ago happen again. And I had said, I'm very, very sensitive to that. In my previous positions, I always felt I was extremely frugal because we didn't have money, and I also feel just because we have money now, we don't need to go spend it all. At the same time, I think that there are some programs that benefit our students and that we do have money. So the question is, can we afford this? And we think that we can. In some form. The next question is, should we go ahead and afford it? And that's what we're going to start talking about tonight. What you saw here was one person's thoughts on where we should go. I talked to a lot of folks, tried to get input. Frank drew on a lot of my experiences over 36 years. I think in the profession, looking at trends, looking at where we're going, and wanted to throw this up. But this is not, okay, here's what I think we should do. What this whole thing is tonight is a starting point to get some discussion moving and see where we would want to go. You can boost my ego and say, everything looks great, let's do it. But that's not really the point. The point is to start looking at our programs. And I'm sure we have some people out there with some great ideas that I hadn't thought of. And to be honest, Bill and I were talking the other day about one of the ideas up here. And said, you know what, that might be a better idea. So there's already things that we're looking at.
But it's not, right?
So with that,
because
I'll mostly keep my mouth shut.
The differential is this.
Hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You have to say?
Yeah. Well, but it's a work set day.
I think it's a great opportunity if to have everybody here tonight, which is great to see everybody, but I think we're going to spend enough time talking when there's not people in the room. I'd love to be able to hear people's questions, concerns.
I have a question on these levies. Like, you have money set aside for like these the gym and all that, right? You can't spend that on teachers, and is that reflected in here on these papers that you have money that you don't? We're not going to be spending money from one thing.
Take it from one area, take out of that. I understand. Don't even address that.
Yeah, we have tried to separate the CapEx from the OpEx, the capital expense from the operating expense. But when you look, and that's what our problem is right now, is operating money, we have plenty. But capital money, if you look at what we have talked about in the past, now we're replanning some of this, but we're going to be quite short on the problems that we have on the capital side of things. So it would involve either taking money out of the operating fund, which there's philosophies that go back and forth on that. And again, some of these are for the board to decide. Or, for instance, one approach or strategy might be, we do have an operating levy that's expiring. And it's 7.55 mils. Do we, instead of renewing operating money, do we maybe take 4 mils or 5 mils or something and put it towards capital, and then you know, maybe then we could afford some of these other items, bigger items that are facing us, so. Again, I mean, what we've tried to do in the past is separate out those two concepts, because this is sort of looked at as educational money. Yeah, so we do have, we did, in previously, to address this, we allowed a 4-mil levy to expire, and we put a 4-mil levy on, you know, tried to make it equal, so that, and that was a PI levy, which is what we were using now. And then we used that along with money we had contributed out of the general fund on a regular basis, and we kind of, when we passed that levy, that board decided, well, let's not do that, because we have this other levy. The only problem with the other levy is it kind of grows not fast enough for what our needs are. So that's what's leaving us short. You know, we're getting money there, but it's sort of gradual. And so we could do the lights, but maybe 3 years from now or something like that. So we're sort of fishing around for a new approach on that to speed that up a little bit.
So you're saying allow a 4-mil operating levy to expire and possibly put on a 4-mil permanent improvement levy. And is that a continuous or a 5-year? Permanent improvement are 5 years, correct?
Yeah.
You can do a continuous, but I know that the community was not supportive of a levy that never expired.
I don't know, even when Ken was here, that was sort of the approach, and we did, that's what we did. There was a 4, I think it was 4.3, and we had to replace it with a 4-mil to make it the same impact on the taxpayer.
That's up to you as a board on what you want to do for levies. Mm-hmm.
If the impetus was to do a great big project, that would be a different financing strategy than if you're going to do the lights this year, then the track next year.
Yeah.
So there's be different, but yeah, that depending on what the board comes up with.
Yeah, right.
And committees.
When we had our finance committee, the objective was, is to get input. Obviously, $15 million is massive, et cetera, et cetera. The first issue that we talked about is education first, not football fields or swimming pools or any other ice skating, whatever it may be. The first was education. So the operating fund is in superb condition. The problem we have, though, and we discussed this, and we have a walkthrough, if we go through this building, we probably have, I'm not kidding you, $3-4 million worth of work. This is, we got water coming in the back walls, our stadium, our auditorium, we have lights falling in the back. We have some major problems for safety that we have to address. And of course, safety is going to come first. I guess what I'd like from you guys, I hope, the recommendations he made, I don't know a lot about education, but through your committees and through your, I hope the teachers get input to tell us what you think we need. You prioritize for us. That's what I like to say. I'm not judging anybody else. I want to see what they think. And I know we have your committee from the, let them talk. All this is to share ideas and not go in blindly. And I have to tell you this, though, we talked about that 10 or 7.75 mil levy that was done by emergency. We can't put it back on unless it's done in permanent. I really don't want to lose that. Not that I want to pay that much, but we have this money. We could do some powerful restructuring in this building that needs it in the next 5 years. But that, at least it has to go to the electorate to have to decide that. But if we show a plan and that's what your people want, I think some of these have to be fixed no matter what. I mean, we just can't ignore it.
I think the conversation centered around the 7.75 operating levy. We can't just, we have to have a cause for it.
Right.
And to show now that we have a cause to need operating money would be, I don't think there's a way you could possibly even do it.
$500 in the bank.
But there is a cause to maintain and improve the
absolutely
infrastructure,
yes,
of our buildings and grounds.
Absolutely. But what that would mean would be taking that levy off that's there now and then asking for a different of some sort. We'd have to come up with a financial of exactly what projects wanted to be done right now, what that would cost, you know, and kind of get that feedback of where do we go into that levy. But yeah, I mean, basically at this point, we've talked a lot about that operating levy. I mean, you can't put it back on.
As an emergency.
No.
You can't just renew it. It has to go back on. That's,
yeah.
That's the, I don't know if that's the dilemma. That's a position we're in.
It's a good position, yeah.
And that's why we have to put it on in November. We could do that without any cost. We shouldn't put a special levy on that. And I don't know how much that would even cost. Yeah. You know, just like you mentioned today that everything has to be done by computers and we need units. How many units do we need? 1,000 units, 300 units? How much does that cost? Things like that. Do you have an idea what that costs?
I do not.
Okay. So it's tough to prepare something that's coming, you know. That's why you guys have expertise in a lot of areas and we don't. We're open. I mean, I'm open. I'm sure that John, we all felt that way. Every time we want to hear their input and from the teachers, from the superintendent, from all. But again, our basis was, geez, we have this levy, and it can be used for, we needs a lot of work. I'm not talking about swimming, I think a major work just for safety.
Yeah.
We got a water problem, the gym's gotta be replaced, we got a safety problem there. We gotta do the back wall, the electrical units are getting, air conditioning doesn't work in the grade school, that could be a $700,000. They don't even know if that's gonna solve the problem, just the box. We have a lot of question marks. But I will say this on this part, what our committee, Jody will testify, education is the most important issue first. And then we have to maintain, if you own it, we have to maintain it, just like your homes. And what prioritize what we need here, what he brought up, some great points. I don't know what's number one, art teacher, tech, you know.
I wanted you to identify where you truly want to invest. Obviously, you want to get a return on your education investment. That's the whole key behind this. So we want to invest in bodies. Obviously, we're all aware that headcount salaries are the biggest cost that we have as a district. But what do we have in place to measure the success of these investments, the efficiency of them, and turning around whatever it is our goal is to provide with that investment, whether it's to increase scores, whether it's to help these kids that are at risk. I know that our special needs population is probably still growing. And I know from a measurement standpoint, we're kind of at a deficit here because we don't raise the bar in a financial aspect as far as the way we're graded by the state or the federal government, where, okay, if our kids aren't performing well, it looks worse in the long haul. And so I want to understand, you know, that investment, A, but then the cost is that the college level plus coursework, I sense there's a reluctance across the board for kids to engage in this because they don't want to put their GPAs at risk. And maybe
you can take those.
I guess I just want to understand that need.
They're including GPAs.
Part of that
to the college level too now.
You're
right. When you get to college.
There are kids that don't want to.
If you fail the course.
They don't want to take the easy way. And I know that Gary and Emily are, and especially at the high school, are trying to address that. You know, for years, our full parents. Kids need to take the hardest things that we have to offer. And that's what colleges look at when they go into admissions. Now, to be honest, if you're going to most state schools, they're not looking at it this close. But we do want, you know, we need to encourage our students and our parents to take the better courses that we offer. So we need to look at what we're offering. One of the things, and we haven't done, I don't think, I think just Gary and Dave have gone to these sessions. Next month, we are taking a team to the county for a day to look at all of our data from last year. Because you're exactly right. I don't know what our data says yet. But that's one of the things that you know, everything we do now revolves around the data, what it shows, what kind of improvements we've made, where we haven't, stepped up to where we want to be. And so those are some of the things that we are in the process of getting into and evaluating, and we'll want to report back to the board, you know, either this spring or in the fall, as to where we think what the data tells us as to where we need to go.
And in all fairness to you, to chime in, this year's been unique because the data doesn't, I mean, usually school districts are sitting on data in September. And because of the park assessments that were initiated last year, now removed, data won't be released until, I believe, Wednesday, so the 25th. So that'll be the first chance school districts have had to see last year's test data, and we'll be about a month away from testing.
We already know the indicators, what we've
Yeah,
needed,
but to break it down, yeah. Yeah, so.
And the indicators, we've met everyone except one, so overall the district, we scored an A on that. But like Mr. Rossman said, we need to take a look at that data first. And many of those times, they're not real big money items. It's more just adjusting curriculum and taking a look at how we're doing some things. So it's not a big money, maybe so much the cost as it is just professional development, see how we're doing things and how we can change things up.
We had asked a couple of months ago, Brian O'Hara, who's the director of curriculum for the county, to come in and help us with an education audit of our district. And I thought we were going to get something pretty quick. I met with Brian over the Christmas break, and this was where he told me, before we can do the audit, we need to look at the data. So I was ahead of myself as far as that goes. And so so he said, you know, we can look at the data in March. But correct me if I'm wrong, Dad, but I'm pretty sure we have not taken a team. And it wasn't just you two that have gone to those data days in the past.
We haven't taken this big of a team.
So we need to get, you know, our teachers are, we need them involved. Well, I think we're taking about 12 folks to the day, which is, it's a lot of subs that day. But we have to get, you know, a large group there, and we're going to be spending the day looking at this data and saying, okay, and looking for trends that we can find and start the discussion, bring it back here, and work with our staffs in general to start moving toward some improvements in those areas.